You're listening to the Ranch Church podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.
While I introduce this special guy, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, and please say a good morning to Pastor Rick Soto.
Good morning, church. Happy holidays. No, 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 right? I say happy holidays, you gotta go, no, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Go with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, and before we do that, I have some housekeeping that I need to do. The first is, interesting enough, on today we're going to be talking about eldership in this unique passage here in 1 Peter chapter 5. And we have new elders that you'll meet more formally next week. Tony Slobig and Mike Wallheiser and Scott Carlton. Oddly enough, Mike Wallheiser, who has preached before, he's such a sweet guy. Another pastor down in Ventura fell sick, and so he asked, Pastor, can I be down there preaching the gospel and subbing for this pastor? Of course, brother, go and do that. So those will be our new elders. We'll meet more of them formally next week. Most of you guys know them. They serve all the time around here. In case you think eldership is something easy or light, I want you to know that most of those guys are reporting a lot of spiritual battle after saying yes. Mike Wallheiser will tell you, I said yes to being an elder, and oh my goodness, let me tell you what's happened in my life. And then more of a point for us to pray about to start here is Tony Slobig. Well, Slobig's one of the founding families of our church, and one of our initial elders after a nice hiatus of a time off said yes and came back. And this week they had a very serious fire in their house, and it's possibly a total damage to the structure. They have an office that connects two parts of their house. Ron Boot, who just had a heart attack like a month or two ago, actually saw those floor-to-ceilings flames in this office. He actually did the right thing. He actually didn't open one door. He ran around the other part of the house, closed the door, and actually allowed the fire to starve itself out. That's actually the miracle, is that the fire actually starved itself out. But if you know anything about fire and fire damage, that fire can still run along the wall, and it was an electrical fire. Massive, substantial damage to the house. You're actually not allowed to walk in as a normal person. You have to have a special mask. There's a lot of toxicity in it, and it's just a massive thing. So they've got all their stuff and insurance and all of that kind of thing, and they're out of the house at Christmas. Praise the Lord, though, no loss of life. And you know, as my wife and I rolled up to the house, and you know, there is the Slobigs and the Boots, and they have soot on their hands and on their face, and they're dealing with all the fire and whatever. And they just go, you know what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have everything we need right here. Our kids are safe. Our family is safe. It's all stuff. Let it burn down, Pastor. Just burn it all down. It's just stuff. We can get new couches and everything else. And so, obviously, though, with that, there's personal items that, as you discover, that are a lot more sensitive. And so that family usually takes up that row right there in the front, and that's why they're not here today, getting a little extra rest and dealing with the circumstances of that. So if you would, we're gonna get into God's Word right now. If you would be kind enough to actually pray with me about that and pray into that family. The announcement I'm giving is at their permission. I have permission to ask you to pray with them and pray over this at church this morning, and then we'll get into the preaching of God's Word. So pray with me this morning, church. Lord Jesus, we come now and we join in your ongoing intercession. And God, you are praying and interceding now for the Slobig family. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the safety of them, body, mind, and soul, Lord God. We thank you that they are safe and that the kids are safe, Lord Jesus, and that the grandparents are safe and that the Slobigs are. We thank you for that, Lord God, and we thank you that they know you, Jesus. And now we come, Lord God, and pray over what carries a lot of emotion and a tremendous disruption of life, Lord God. And as they discover certain parts of their personal things, little mementos that meant a lot to them, God, kind of a sort of invasion, Lord God, of this fire into their life, we pray over them, Lord God, safety and peace. We pray your gospel of peace unto that beautiful family. And God, we pray that this would actually be the best Christmas that they ever had. And God, I pray that you would also give us the mobility as a church to love on them and pour into their lives. And God, now we come to the preaching of your word. And we come now, Lord Jesus, at this moment asking that you would speak your truth and life to us, that we would actually be transformed and changed, that you would be exalted, Lord Jesus, and that you would be the God Most High in our lives and in your church. And so come, Jesus, now speak to all of our hearts. We give you glory. We give you glory. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Say it out loud with me, church. So we have here all of our Christmas stuff from our pageant, and if I move around in some places, what I want you to know is that the lights are off on the stage, so you might see me with some reason, but actually the lights are off for me to even kind of read my notes, and then the PowerPoint is not going to be on, so I'll do the best for you to follow. But if I move around to some weird spots, just know that's somewhat what's going on as I do that. Listen, I love this passage of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5. So I exhort the elders among you, Peter says, as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. What does he say in your Bible's, church? He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, don't let that be missed in your Bible. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And everybody, clothe yourselves, all of you, the Bible says, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I'm going to just camp for one of the few times in just pretty much one verse here that's going to start out. And I'm going to title this message, just to help you out, to say it this way, How Elders Help You. So if you have our app, you'll find that title on our app. You can digitally take some notes. If you're one of my old handwriting friends, and bless you, because that's what I love to still do, How Elders Help You. Listen, here's what I want you to know. Here's how elders help you. You're sitting here, you're coming here, you're coming to church, you want to be encouraged, you want to be loved on, you want Jesus, all of that is great. How do elders help you? Here's how elders help you. Write it down. They are shepherds of your soul. Peter has building an entire argument from chapter 1 here in the book. He's been building an argument where he's been talking about you need to take care of your soul. And some of you have been on the journey with us here as we've been in 1 Peter. And now we're in chapter 5. We're at the very end of the book. And he's going to say, okay, if we're going to take care of our souls, we're going to be born again. We're going to take care of our souls. We're going to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to take care of our souls. But there actually are shepherds that I'm going to raise up among you who are actually going to help take care of your soul. They are there as a blessing. They are there to help you recover from difficulties and tragedy. They are there for strength and encouragement. They are shepherds of your soul. So I have a disclaimer, though, as we go through this. As we talk about this as a disclaimer, here is a disclaimer. If Jesus is your king, if Jesus is king in your life, this is an easy conversation. If Jesus is not king in your life, you're thinking, whoa, how does this work? Do you understand that? If Jesus is actually king, if he is actually king in your life, if he's not just resident and not just president, if he's actually king, then this is an easy conversation. But if he's resident, where you just like him hanging around, if he's president, where when things get uncomfortable, you want to vote the truth of God somewhere else, if he's president, then that's difficulty. But if he's the king, if he owns everything, if he owns your life, if he's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, then this becomes a more easy to understand conversation. History is full of bad kings, no doubt. no doubt, if we talk about eldership and we talk about Jesus being king, we can point to bad kings. And I can tell you as a lover of history how many bad kings there are. And you could read it along with me. And we have bad contemporary leaders. We have bad political leaders. Here's what I'm here to tell you, that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is not a carnal king. You understand that, right? The Bible talks about carnality, and it's negative. It talks about the flesh. The flesh is that which bites against us. The flesh is that which wars against us. The flesh is that which can manipulate even our will into doing the wrong thing sinfully. Jesus is not a carnal king. Jesus is the true king. He is the loving king. Jesus loves you. He loves you. That's why he went to the cross to die for your sins. Jesus wants to actually give to you. He actually wants to give to you. He's actually wanting to pour more and more of his life inside of you. Jesus went to the cross, and then he says, listen, I'm going to the cross to send the Holy Spirit. So he has this phrase in John's gospel where he says, it's better that I leave. Send you the Holy Spirit. He wants to give to you. And so we can always talk about negative examples that are outside the kingdom. But the truth of the matter is Jesus is actually king. Now, let me give you one example of how elders help shepherd your soul. First thing that you're going to find here is in verse 1, as Peter says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ that has to do with the cross and the truth of the gospel. And he says it as a partaker of all that is going on, of the glory that is to be revealed. Okay, so first thing, how do elders help you? The first thing is that they clarify the gospel. They clarify the gospel. And here's what we're going to do. So I want you to picture, this is a mountaintop right up here. There's a mountaintop right up here. And then you go down to the base of the mountain. You go down to the base of the mountain. And over here at the base of the mountain, oh, there's a road to get up there. There's a road to get up there. Now, there's a point where you can't see beyond it. There's a point where you have no perspective on it. But down by the base for a little bit, it looks like you can go up. And that is Islam. See, we are, in theological terms, we're monotheists. We believe in there's one God. And Islam believes in there's one God. And so they're looking for this one God right here at the mountaintop. And at the base of this mountain, there's a little road that they kind of think that they see that can go up there. The truth of the matter is you go up the mountain a little bit, and around the bend, the road's washed out. And you can't keep going up. You get locked out. You're going to fall back down. But that's what they think. On one side of the mountain, here's Islam. Here's, okay, now we're at the top, and now we come to the other side, and we have another road that looks like it goes up. There's another road that looks like it goes up, okay? But, you know, the truth is it has some bends in the road. It has some really difficult climbs, and it looks like it's going to make it. But over here is Judaism. It's a Judaism. And if you follow all these rules, maybe you get a little higher. Maybe you get a little higher. Maybe you get a little higher. But. Is still locked out. And Judaism is really interesting because people will call themselves Jewish, which, as one person recently said, it's the only religion that's an ish. You know, you think about Jew-ish, you know, are you Jewish? Or maybe we're sort of Jewish, you know, maybe we're not. Maybe we have to adhere to some of the rules, you know, because we don't have a temple. You know, and I say this as a lover of Israel. I say this as a defender of Jewish people. But we're talking here about spiritual truth. We're the truth of the matter is we're Jew-ish. We don't have a temple. We have no way to be cleansed from our sins. We have no way to fulfill the laws of Moses. We're sort of ish. And so the Jew would say one thing, and Islam would say another, and then the Christians would say, but you know what, yeah, we see that you have a road that looks like you can go up, and on the other side, there's a road that looks like it could go up. Remember, we're talking about clarifying the gospel. Are you ready for it? The very top of the mountain, God came all the way down. They say, you can't get up there, so I'm going to take you up. That is the Christmas story. God entered the human race and became a man to do all that was necessary to come all the way down the mountain, or in biblical terms, in Philippians chapter 2, came down spiritually out of heaven, that's the Christmas story, entered a virgin named Mary, who's about 15 years old, and became a human being, that is the Christmas story. And that's the difference between us. And so elders are going to clarify the gospel for you. They're going to say, listen, friend, if you're going to be a Christian and live full of the Holy Spirit, then we're not going to live like Islam. We're not going to live like Jews with all the legalism and religiosity of that. We're going to live as liberated people because our God came down the mountain to save us from our sin, to take us back up to Him in an exact straight line. So elders are shepherds of your soul. Peter is talking about that gospel right here where he says, partakers and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Elders, secondly, in terms of shepherding your soul, I want you to write this down, church. They are tribal guardians. They're actually tribal guardians. That's what an elder is going to do. So elders in our church are actually going to look out for our church, and they're going to look out for you in this church. They're actually going to be looking out for you. They're tribal guardians. And so Jesus, these elders are going to tell you, is king. And Jesus owns everything. And so church is for God's glory. And so church is for you to enjoy, and church is for you to build up. Did you get that? It's for God's glory is what church is. It's actually for you to enjoy. So we want to minister in a way here as elders in our body. We want you to enjoy church. I mean, we want you to enjoy church. We want you to make friends in church. We want to have ministries that help encourage love and encouragement. We want you to enjoy church because God wants you to enjoy church. It's a great gift. How blessed I was as a pastor a couple weeks ago when a family faced a tragedy with their son just down the road as they were just visiting here. And by the time I'm engaged with these people at the hospital, there's phone call after phone call after phone call, and people doing everything to minister to them, to get them to love one another and know that they're loved and encouraged. And then recently with another family that faced a very serious tragedy, and then even the things of today. Listen, church is a place where you know someone's got your back. Church is a place where you know you're not forgotten. Church is a place where you are remembered. Church is a place, especially here, you get a phone call. I mean, it's a phone call of love. I haven't seen you in church for a few weeks. That's not like some, you know, we're counting or whatever. It's like we care. We actually care. Where you been? How you doing? Because we know that so many times afterwards we found out, man, you're not going to believe what happened. And sometimes it's sin. You're not going to believe what I did. You're not going to believe what I did. Look what I did. I don't want to show my face at church anymore. I don't want to have to, I can't come before God anymore. You wouldn't believe what I did. No, brother, sister, then if you're a sinner, then welcome to the club. We're going to wrap our arms around you, and we're going to walk through that. What cave are you in? Then we're going to walk you out of darkness, as the Bible says, into a marvelous light in 1 Peter. You are not alone. You are not forgotten. You're not unloved. You're not unliked. Just the opposite of that. Are you weird? Well, you maybe drive us crazy, but we like you. That's church. It's for God's glory, though. It's for God's glory. And it's for you to enjoy as a gift, but it's also for you to build up. It's also for you to build up. And so elders as tribal guardians are going to do that. They're going to minister. They're going to remind you, listen, friend, is Jesus king in your church? Is he king in your life? Does he own everything in your life? They're going to teach you about these things. Now listen, here's what elders are going to teach you. And Peter here is teaching elders things that they need to know about how they work so that people know how the church works. And I'm going to give you a list. And I'll try and do this in a concise manner since I can't click through this morning. But I'm going to give you a list of what elders will teach you about what is your role. Like, what is your role? If you want to know what your role is in church, I'm going to give you 4 bullet points of a great summary, and I'm going to give you 1 verse for each of countless many, and I'm going to teach you the Christian's role in the church. Are you ready? Yes or no? Thank you. First one, preach the word. Preach the word. That's your role. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, by way of reference. Simply says, in season and out of season, preach the word. That's what that text is saying. Do people like it, welcome it, preach the word. Are people open to it, not open to it, preach the word. Do you feel uncomfortable doing it, preach the word. Preach to the lost and preach to each other. Preach the word. Listen, we need to preach to each other. I love this. I love this. Trust me, always do this to me. Always do this to me. Your pastor loves it. Always do the following to me. I got a phone call some time ago where somebody woke me up late at night. They texted me. They said, hey, are you awake? Are you awake? It's like midnight. I'm midlife. I'm asleep. All right? So I'm like, I'm out, you know? And I'm checking my pulse for my early morning workout right now. I'm hoping to get there. And so it's go, okay, well, what's going on? Have you read the book of Revelation? Seriously? No, because I got to tell you, and it's this and it's that, 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 and it's this and I go, well, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I've studied it. I know. Have you, Pastor, read the book of Revelation? You know, and then I kind of wake up and I get it. Give it to me. We'll get the coffee and tea on or whatever. We'll get our little jammy slippers on, and we're just going to sit here, give it to me. Because you know what? That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Always wake me up for good news. Always wake me up to tell me that you're in the Word of God. Always wake me up to tell me that you're just soaking in the riches and the treasures of the Scriptures and the glorified Christ. Another friend was in town, and we were going for a drive together, and he said to me, have you ever read the book of Acts? And I didn't clue into this because I've actually online been trying to write some things on the book of Acts and have some work done on a commentary for it. And so I brazenly, boldly, you know, maybe even selfishly kind of said, well, you know, I'm kind of working on a commentary there. And he goes, no, Pastor, have you read the book of Acts? Do you know that it says this and that and this and that and this and that? And that brother was gone, man. I wasn't interrupting him for about 40 minutes. It's like, man, it's so beautiful. So we have to preach to one another. Sometimes you have to preach to me. Sometimes you have to preach to each other. Sometimes you have to remind one another in the best of days. Hey, man, that's awesome. Let me give you glory to God. Let me show you the text. And then in the toughest of days, we have to preach to one. We have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to one another. Secondly, of what elders will remind you is your role in church. And that is they will encourage you to worship Jesus, which is part of what Peter is pointing to here. They're going to encourage you to worship Jesus. John chapter 4, verse 24, the scripture teaches that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so this is, again, this is, I'm in worship here, just here, just a couple weeks ago. Actually, I was feeling very, very broken at the moment. I was actually going to get some pillows on and get on my knees and just felt like I needed to be on my knees and my hands open before God like this and said, God, just meet with me this morning. Speak to me this morning. So I'm kind of like getting rid of the phrase. And then there's a guy I don't know. And his hands are up like this, right? His hands are up like this. And so he's like looking around. It's going like this, right? So I know that's kind of a new experience for him. And so he starts doing this across the sanctuary, right? It's like going like this. And he's coming towards me. You know, as he's coming. Now, he's not putting his hands down and walking over and asking me. No, he's gonna start like this. Beautiful man. He's going to walk over like this. He's going to walk over. He's going to walk over. And then he gets to me. He goes, okay, hey, Pastor. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? So then I'm going to answer that question. You know, but he doesn't let me answer the question. He goes, I like it. Yeah, it feels like I'm lifting my hands up to God, right? Lifting my hands up to God. Okay, I'm lifting my hands up to God. Such a beautiful man. Such a beautiful moment, you know. Just the purity of some new expression, you know, of faith. You know, and by and large, we lift our hands to the Lord. Certainly the psalmists talk about that on more than one occasion, but we generally lift our hands to the Lord because we're acknowledging that God is greater than us. He's greater than you and your humanity. He's also greater than all of your problems. You got problems? I'm sure everyone's going to raise their hands if I said you got problems. Everyone's got problems. He's greater than that. He's greater than every shortcoming in my life. He's greater than all my pain and sorrow that I've ever faced. He's greater than all the moments of rejection that I've ever had to encounter. He's greater. And so I cannot but lift my hands to him. So elders are going to encourage you to worship. They're going to encourage you to worship Jesus. They're going to encourage you to understand these things. And Peter is saying these to these elders here, and he's dealing with the character of it, but he's explaining also the gospel. And they're tribal guardians, these elders, and they're going to explain these things. So third, in terms of your role that elders will teach you about, third, they're going to train you in discipleship. They're going to train you in discipleship. Jesus in Matthew 5, 28, 18 says, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples. All authority has been given to me. Matthew 28, 18. All authority, Jesus says, has been given to me. So go and actually make these disciples. And if you want to know what a disciple is someone who's going to walk with Jesus, learn from Jesus, and grow stronger. Walk. Walk. Walk it out. There are some things in your life that maybe won't just get done quickly by a prayer. Why? I don't know why. Probably because you need to grow up in some places, and so the better place of that is for God to walk you out of it so you actually experience discipline in your life and transformation through strength. I most certainly would love to pray deliverance over you. I'd be so happy if I just prayed immediately in Jesus' name and every single one of your problems went away. But I'm not God. I don't know what's going on with you. So to be a disciple means sometimes you're going to walk it out. Do not fear it. Christ is with you. Second, you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to learn. You can do what we're doing right now. We're just sitting in one verse. So exhort the elders among you. We might read that and go, what does that mean? Well, we are soaking in part of what that means. You're going to read the Bible. You're going to study the Bible. You're going to be in groups studying the Bible. We're going to encourage all of that. But you're going to learn. And you're going to learn. And you know what's awesome about being a Christian? You know what is the greatest things about being a Christian? You're never going to stop learning. I've been walking with God 30 years. I haven't even begun to soak in the depths of the plum of the cross. Just scratching the surface, just drinking from some great water. We're talking about God. When are you going to be done learning from God? And then you're going to grow strong. Then you're going to grow strong. I love in Israel this past year, my wonderful friend and brother-in-law, Jeff Gunther, he had this great phrase. We're baptizing him. You know, Jeff Gunther's this really wonderful big teddy bear. You know, he doesn't even know I'm using this illustration, so he's going to come back and go, what? We're dunking him. He's really public with this. This is fine. And so we're going to dunk you, and we're actually in the Sea of Galilee. I don't do it in the Jordan River anymore because that's some nasty water. And trust me, you know, everyone was on me on the tour. They're like, we want to, you know, right where Jesus happened. You know, can we soak in that water? Can we soak in that water? Man, I'll drive you to that water. You're going to look at that water. You go, no, not even in Jesus' name. I mean, not even in Jesus' name am I getting in that water. I'll take you north. We'll get to the Sea of Galilee. Got a great place I'll take you to. I'm going to dunk in the Sea of Galilee, which is the Jordan River anyway. And here's Jeff Gunther. And he's going, okay, Jeff, why do you want to be baptized? Why do you want to be baptized? And he's standing there as a wonderful brother. You know what he says? I was always a believer. And gets teary-eyed. But never a follower. I want to be a follower. I want to follow whatever Jesus is telling me to do. I want to follow whatever the book is leading and guiding me in. I want to follow wherever the Spirit is driving me. I was always a believer, but I am now a follower. And that's right. That's right. So elders are going to train you in discipleship. They're going to train you, and that's a lifelong process of what your role is. So preaching the word and worshiping and making disciples. Fourth and last on that, elders are going to encourage you and show you how to work for Christ. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, you could just knock out the whole chapter. The first few verses are related to the nature of working for Christ and being strong in the grace of the Lord and doing just that. You want to actually be about the Father's business. You want to be serving for Christ. And so most of you will be in some sort of servitude place. Some will be, I hope, you know, some of you guys are on church staff. I hope you kind of, you know, and all of that and go become missionaries or whatever the case is. But you're going to be working and working for Jesus Christ in some capacity. Church doesn't just happen. We're in a building project down the road. And we've had to be quiet as we worked painfully through the background processes. But here's what can happen. Some people tell me, oh, I can't wait to get the building, and then we won't. And they fill in something they don't have to do. Seriously? If we don't have the desire in our house to set up chairs and make church nice and do things, then lock it up and go home and don't call it church. We're going to get a church so we can do more stuff. A church building. Like, it's not to close it up, it's to open it up. It's to keep it open 24/7 with prayer and with worship and with ministries to moms and ministries to dads and everything that God would ever show us. Let every homeless person come there. I don't care what the neighbors say. Line them up and we'll feed them all and give them Jesus and they'll all get saved. Right from beginning to end. That's why we're not getting a building so we can do less. We're getting a building so we can do more. We want to work for Christ. We want to die for Christ. You're going to die. What kind of rewards are you leaving at the cross? Do you understand? There's a teaching called the Bema Seat. The Bema Seat was back in Greece. It was a great reward center, and people would have this amphitheater, and there'd be a person in the middle of it, generally a hero from a battle, and they'd be recognized. And what the award was trying to hear the story of their life so they could get greater and greater recognition. And Paul uses that teaching for your life, saying that God is actually looking so that he could someday bless you with eternal treasure and reward that you'll actually present to him. Let me ask you, do you want to be empty-handed at that moment? And don't think just because I'm here that I'm full of that. Partly from public speaking, I have my reward. So there's things I have to be doing as a Christian in a different kind of nature so that I have something to give to my King, because you are going to face that day. So it's fun. Let's go serve Jesus. It's really great. It's really great to ask God to let you use your life and to be used into someone else's life, and what a blessing that is. We're going to go reach on people group, which is generally your neighbor. Nice long missionary walk. We're going to go to the farthest ends of the world and preach the gospel. We're going to find unreached people groups in 2020, and we're going to go tell them about Jesus. They're going to get saved. And you're coming with me. So we're going to preach the word, worship, make disciples, work for Christ. That's the four-point summary of what your job is in church, and in particular, our church. I'm going to hustle through a few things here and just illustrate one of the issues that sometimes challenges me. And this illustration is something that I want you to know your pastors had to grow up in. Man, I have had to grow up in this. And it relates to the word my. And we appropriately say my church. And I hope you say the Ranch Church is your church. And so we appropriately say mine. Well, there's a problem sometimes with that because we think of my car. One of my friends picked me up in his new Model 3. He said, it's my car. Pick me up in Model 3 anytime you want. Went out some back road and hit it. It's like, wow, don't ever let me have this car. That's really fast. And then we say things, you know, like my shoes, which is totally fine, or my clothes, and I'm going to mix and match my clothes. Here's the issue. Is that we're used to thinking of things that we're excited about as mine, and the truth of the matter is that the church, though you would say this is my church, though I would say this is my church, the truth of the matter is the Ranch Church does not belong to you or to me, but to him. It is mine and it is yours to build up. It is mine and it is yours to give him glory. It is mine and it is yours to treat it very well. But it is not mine like a pair of shoes that I can just stomp around in the mud however I want. And it's not mine like my own clothes where I can mix and match however I want. Today I wanted to wear a tie, just put on a tie. Who cares? I don't care if you care. I wore it. Church doesn't work that way. What do you want? What are you doing? And I just being really candid in a personal confession, I've had to grow in that. I've had to mature. I've had to confront lots of selfishness, lots of pride. And I've had a lot of help with men in this church with that. To realize it's his. It's not mine. Not because I'm a Christian, not because I'm a pastor, not because I'm on payroll. It's his because he died. And so it's ours to say mine and to be excited about in that sense, but it's not ours in that exact sense. All right, so what do elders do for you? Here's what elders do for you. This is how elders will really bless you. Here's a few thoughts that Peter gets at as to how elders bless you. So exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ as well as a partaker that is going to be revealed, of the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. What Peter is saying is that elders, in fact, love you. Elders actually love you. Peter is actually very interested in this comment because what he's saying is, he says, as a fellow elder, if you know anything about the Bible, if you've read anything about the Bible, he's not a fellow elder. He's an apostle. He is the one that Jesus called out to preach the very first sermon. He's the one that Jesus said, Peter, who denied me, he mentions his name and he says, I'm going to go get him in Galilee. He's hiding out. I got a plan for him. He's the one that Jesus never gave up on. Despite all of his failures, despite all of his frailty, and yet he's going to say, I'm actually not coming to you as an apostle. I actually lay that down in love. I am simply your brother. I'm simply a fellow elder. I'm simply just a follower of Jesus. Peter is actually exercising tremendous humility. And Jesus would ask him, Peter, do you love me? End of John's gospel. And so elders, they bless you because they love you. Why would they call you? Why would they go to your house? Why would they disciple you? Why would they invite you into things? Because they actually love you. So elders bless you because they love you. Secondly, in terms of how elders minister to you or bless you, they take you to the cross, a witness of the sufferings of Christ. I know I've repeated that several times, but I don't want you to miss it. Peter here is talking about a witness of that suffering. And so elders are going to take you to the cross. Jesus knew pain. Yes? Yeah. He's a perfect person on planet Earth. He knew pain. Peter knew pain. Your elders know pain. It's part of why they've been chosen. They've led a real life. They've had to confront things in their life. They've had to overcome things in their life. They know pain. And so they don't approach you with any kind of flippancy like, oh, I know all the 1,000 answers that you need. No. I come to you as your brother and sister in the Lord to bring you to the cross. There is a spiritual transaction that happens when I say you go to the cross. It's partly when you identify some stumbling block and you say, Jesus, I put it on the cross. Because what happens at the cross is that at the cross, according to Romans 5, things died. And then according to Romans 6 and 7 and 8, then things were resurrected back from the dead. And so I take things that are painful, I put them on the cross so that they will die. How would you like all the pain in your life to die? The cross will do that. How would you like all the beautiful, good things in your life to be resurrected back? The cross will do that. And so it's a spiritual transaction when we say, take it to the cross. And so elders will help you with that. Next, elders will ask you, third, to seek the glory of God. They will ask you to actually seek the glory of God, as well as partakers in the glory that is to be revealed. They're going to ask you to seek God's glory. You can think of that as Jesus being the main thing. Is Jesus the main thing in your pain? Is Jesus the main thing in your success? Is Jesus the main thing in your life? Then keep Jesus Christ the main thing. Make him the main attraction. In our church, we are embracing, especially in this new season of eldership, we're embracing, how do we actually keep Jesus Christ the main attraction? Keep him the main attraction. Keep him the main thing that people see when they come here, that Jesus Christ is it and no other. So church, I'm going to ask us, we're going to do something a little different here. We're at the end of the message. We're actually going to enjoy communion together. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. And I'm going to pray for you. and then I'm going to release you. At our church, we do it casually. Do not let the casualness make you think this is not a serious act. It's actually a serious spiritual act, which is why I'm going to say the following. The way you most wonderfully enjoy communion is to actually have crossed the line with God. The first thing to understand is that God made you. He made everything. Have you made a lot of money? I hope you've made all kinds of money in your life. You know who gave you the ability and the open doors of all of that financial success? Try God. He is the one who gave you that education, birthed you a certain way. You were born at a certain time, and he gave you all the ability for you to achieve success. That was God. Secondly, he loves you. So all of that was done in love. All of that was done in love. Third, you have to understand that there is something called sin, which is actually some of your greatest problems. Sin is the barrier that keeps you from having a relationship with God. Sin is the barrier that keeps you from having answered prayer. Sin is the reason why you don't experience more and more power. Jesus Christ, who is God, came from heaven, that's the Christmas story, down to earth to take away your sin. The baby who was born in the manger would actually become the man who would die on the cross and be resurrected on the third day, just like he said. So what I just told you does not necessarily change your life, but what changes your life is when you have a personal transaction moment where you say, Jesus Christ, take away my sin and give me that new life. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me be your true son. Let me be your true daughter. You be my true father in heaven. That is the beginning of a brand new life, a good life, a sweet life, a blessed life. So pray with me, church. Pray with me for a moment. Bow your heads and pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for us this morning, God, that you would be here in the midst and that you'd be pleased with all that we are saying and doing. And God, I pray for my friends right now, Lord God, as they worship you, as they come before you, as they understand you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that they would give their lives completely, totally to you. And as right before we enter into communion, if you're here and you're saying, I need to invite Jesus Christ into my life. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. You need Jesus Christ, man, to give you that great big do-over. Thank you for raising your hand. Anybody else, you need Jesus Christ to give that to you. Thank you, my friend. Anybody else, you need Jesus Christ to give you this wonderful, wonderful do-over with the forgiveness of sins. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. You guys can put your hands down. Put your hands down. So if you raise your hand, just repeat quietly after me this prayer as an act of faith. If you raise your hand, then right where you're sitting, just speak out loud. I know you're going to feel a little intimidated. Don't feel intimidated. Repeat after me this prayer. Lord Jesus, say those words out loud. Lord Jesus, I need you. Take away my sin. Give me a new life. Let your love and power and peace come over my life. Be my God and be my Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Ranch Church podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.